Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, creepies, welcome to episode 140. Nate is your tech engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. Sean and Nate, what's going on?
He's back.
Dun-dun-dun.
He was here last weekend, too.
Todd's like,
yeah, I wasn't anywhere.
He's in studio.
I'm in studio.
Who's he?
I'm back. I am the podcaster of the universe. That's what we need. We need some type of special effect or sound effect.
Oh,
whatever.
Nate needs more jobs. You're right. You're absolutely correct.
Nate's like, I don't know. It's like a flash forward, and I always love that. Flash. I am back in the studio, the Mako studio, where I should be.
You're back in black?
Mm-hmm. You guys, I was going to say you called me. You did call me. That's right. You called me. And
you just didn't make it on the mini.
Nope. And
we're still not sure about the quality of that.
Boy, my wife and I did not feel good that night.
I hate you guys. Do the mini without me.
Did I say that?
You didn't say that. Those word for word.
I think I said that.
I think you paraphrased, but yeah, that's about.
It was a headache. That's what it was.
Oh, I see.
You were just
I said
that we caused.
I said I can't do the mini. I can't do the mini tonight. I got a headache. Not now. I got a headache. Oh, never.
I hate this headache, both of you.
I did the full with you guys. I was in my jammies and in bed with the heating blanket on, and
I'm always in my jammies.
I was quite comfy.
Oh,
quite comfy. Yeah. And then my wife kicked me out for the last 5 minutes. She came to bed. came in the room.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Straight
to
bed, man. And yeah, so I was like, well, I'll take my binder downstairs.
You're like, we can edit all this out. No, we're not.
Finish
this
up.
This out.
No, she felt terrible. She really felt bad. So anyway, yeah, I'm glad to be back in the studio with you guys. So
right on.
Everything else going all right?
Mm-hmm.
Good. We're hump day today. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Other than that, I don't have anything else to say. Weather's been nice.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's warmed up.
71 on the way over here.
Mm-hmm.
Phew, like hot.
And one of the local DJs said, that's going to cool down over the next few days. Yeah, low 60s.
Yeah.
Big deal. I mean, for November in Indiana, this isn't Texas.
I'll take 60s.
That's and in the next week, I saw, at least the beginning, it's going to be in the 60s. So
you're telling me
Don't
rush to mow.
I had to mow Saturday.
Yeah.
I mow, and then I'll probably mow again. But we don't have a front tree. We have two trees in the back that do some leaves in the corner. We have our whole front yard is covered with leaves. We don't have any trees. I'm like, well,
everybody else leaves.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I'm like, what's going on here?
They probably blew over there from my yard.
Those are
I'm
Nate's.
Like, what? Oh, you got a ton of leaves, man.
We're paying someone to get them.
Are you?
Yeah, we're not doing it this year.
Oh, you're so smart.
Ton of leaves. I pulled
so they're
in.
They're like, yeah, we'll be there to pick them up, but we're going to wait until they all fall, so they'll probably be around Thanksgiving. I was like, okay, I guess we'll be that house.
I've known that your yard has a lot of trees, but when you pull in, there's so many. Like, I thought my car was going to get stuck.
Spilling out into the yard, into the road, right? Yeah.
I was like, that pushed me out.
Overflow, yes. Well, it's been really windy, though, tonight, too. So
yeah, I just don't understand. Like, there's a lot of houses in our neighborhood that have trees around it, but I don't know why. I've never noticed in the past where they've blown over to our yard. I don't understand that, but we have leaves.
I think we had an easterly wind a couple days ago.
Did we? I don't remember it being windy.
Well, I mean, it wasn't like windy, but I could tell that the wind was blowing from the east. So maybe
I don't like it.
A neighbor across the street from you
probably
blew across.
Yeah. It's a love letter from God.
He's my goodness. I mean, I love God, but I don't mind blowing the leaves in my yard. He doesn't have to rake them.
Well, for the moment, he handed you.
I don't rake. Yes, we are glad to be back in the studio together.
That's right. The Triforce.
You know what? You know what time it is? Mm-hmm. Dad riddle of the joke.
Oh, it was a riddle this time. Right.
I have a riddle. Yes. Let's see if you and the creepies can get it. What is the longest word in the dictionary? What is the longest word in the dictionary?
Word.
No.
It's the longest word.
No, it's not. No, it's not time.
It's not time.
Long.
Okay. Long. See, I like your thinking there, Nate.
I don't know.
It's not bad. The longest word in the dictionary is smiles, because there is a mile between each S.
Oh, that's actually pretty good. Yeah, I would
smile.
Not
there you go. That's the dad riddle of the show, and you're welcome.
That's too technical.
Pretty technical, but I like it.
Yeah, I like that one. Yeah. Anyway, that's the dad riddle. So, Mr. Sean, yes. You have some announcements, sir.
I do. I have the first part of the announcements after that riddle that hurt my brain. The first part of the announcements, always we start with the fact that we are together, like you said. We come here for the guy time, the paranormal. We come here for the creepy. We come here. Let's be honest. We come here for Nate. That's all we come here for.
That's right.
We surround
him. We have to. He does the sound and the editing.
Well, that's true. That's very true. That's
and he lets us use his house.
So truer words have never been spoken, right? But we are here every single time to build a community for mental health awareness. So we want you to get help out there, all of us. Call or text 988 for any type of mental distress, suicide prevention, or any other type of crisis that you may be experiencing. You can also text HOME to 741-741 for professional help. If you or someone you know is experiencing bullying, contact stopbullying.gov for help. Reach out to our Facebook group, Instagram account, email, or message us for added support. That is what our Mako family is all about.
Good job.
Like
good
right
job.
But I had more to say. No,
you're like, well, I don't think I typed anymore, did I? Yep. Got to make sure they get some help if they need it.
That's right.
Us too and everybody, right? Mm-hmm. Life is tough, and with what's going on in the world every day, it can get you down. And now we're getting close to the, well, we are not like what? Three weeks away from Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
By the time we're, yeah. And then Christmas, so people get down. Death, you know, death's in the family or friends or just kind of maybe you're alone. So
dark night.
I've been through there.
Dark night of the soul.
And I got divorced and then my dad died and it's tough.
Yes.
So, yes, do what you can to help yourself. Thank you for that. Shout outs.
Mm-hmm.
Nate, any shout outs?
I do.
Oh.
I got what? Some. Whoa, I almost choked on my own spit. Are you serious?
I'm forced to do these.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
we
right.
We kind of know why. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, go ahead and give your shout out.
I still almost choked on my spit.
All right. Well, I am going to give a shout out because he asked for it.
It's me.
Austin Lawrence.
Past guest of the show. Mm-hmm. And let me add, he's going to be part of our 2024 live show.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
I do.
I know. I do that.
his comment goes as follows: only if it's from Nate. That's known to be one of the greatest honors in the ranks of receiving a Nobel Peace Prize or finding an extra spicy chicken nugget in your Wendy's four piece.
That's true.
Now that's special.
That's true words.
So I guess it's special coming from me.
Yeah. Well,
so there you go,
never Austin. Give out. So shout out to Austin.
So
and who else you got?
We have
two more.
Betsy.
Yeah.
Kulikowski.
Kulikowski, baby.
Kulikowski. Yeah. Sorry.
Her
got
too.
Tongue tied.
Kulikowski. She'll like that even better.
Yeah, Betsy. Uh-huh. Past guest. Yeah, friend.
She not so much for her, but she wants a shout out for Bigfoot. He's feeling lost and unseen.
That's true.
That's right.
Poor booga. Poor hairy jerk. No, sorry. Yeah, there's your shout outs from them. Or from them, jeez.
From me.
Nate to them. Sean, what do you have?
Well,
you have
I have
shout outs.
I do. They're actually, one of the requested shout outs was from Megan O'Donnell. I work with her. She's a nurse there at Hendricks. She is a friend of Jenna and I's. And we've had, they're at the hospital. We've had kind of a rough week, a lot of changes going on. And so she was shouting out to Jen and I saying that she really appreciated us, but I'm going to say I appreciate her right back as a friend, a colleague, and also just a support. So it goes into that whole mental health. You know, we're here for each other. We got to get through this craziness together. So I do appreciate her. And I also appreciate her, shouting out Jen and I as well. So, but it is our pleasure, honestly, because she's a good friend.
Don't you have another one?
Do I? Yeah. I don't know. Was I forced to
you
no.
Said, yeah.
Just follow the script, Sean.
Oh, man. Am I having this kind of a moment again?
Oh, yes. We just talked about it. You had the other.
It's not on there, but.
No. You had another shout out. On
I don't remember.
Did I? Mark Jones.
Oh, my gosh.
We said Mark.
Sorry. Mark Liston. That's why you did say that.
Wait, now hold on. Why is he Mark Liston when his name's Mark Jones?
I have no idea.
Why?
I need to talk to him about that. Sometime.
My name's Todd Hedges, and it's never been like Todd, but that's Johnson. I mean, it's
I'll have to ask Mark. Mark, I've referred to him as Marky Mark before. So we'll, but it is. It's Mark Liston, I promise. I don't know why his handle is Mark Jones on there.
Huh.
Sometime I'm going to have to ask him about that.
Okay. Well, Mark.
But, yeah.
Now, do you want to read what he said, his comment? I've got it right here.
Oh, you got it? Go for it.
He says,
you should have done this.
He says, mostly a lurker, but you all are definitely entertaining. I said, ha, thanks.
Yeah, we think so.
We are entertaining. I'm not sure.
If that's to ourselves.
Yeah. Oh, man, we crack ourselves up. Yeah, so shout out to them.
Sorry, Mark.
Mark Liston or Jones, if that's your real name.
Yeah.
If that's your real name. Yeah, his name's probably like Jackson or Smith. It's Mark Smith. But
he's got many aliases, right?
Yeah, I've got two shout-outs. I promised a shout-out to Morgan Catlett. She is my go-to person at one of my cleaning accounts. She is a horror movie fanatic. She's got a bunch of Funko Pops and in her office, which is cool. Like, oh gosh, she's got Michael Myers and the Creeper from Jeepers Creepers.
Michael who?
And you know my boy. yeah, she's got a bunch of them. So I emailed her and I said I brought some stickers and like a little merch baggie for you. So I gave her some bracelets and all
that's
that.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she said thank you so much. And I said in my email, I said, hey, you know,
she says thank you so much. Is she Italian?
Anyway.
That's what I heard.
Let me get through this.
I don't even think you said that.
Let me get through this.
Okay.
So, no, anyway, so when I emailed her, I said, and by the way, I said, you know, check out our podcast if you want. And, you know, I think it'd be right up your alley if you like horror and paranormal and all that. And she said, actually, I've been listening to your show since the beginning of the year, and you guys do a really good job. That was so nice. So she is a listener. So shout out to Morgan.
She was listening to the wrong show, is that what we're saying?
I said, we're talking about Millions of Creepers. So anyway, shout out to Morgan. And then I have two late ones here. Krista Nalrocki, she is the manager at the Plainfield Huntington Bank, and the assistant manager, Jessica Hartman. They have done so much in the last, I don't know, because we do all kinds of banking there. Because it's our bank. No, but they've helped us with all kinds of stuff. They are awesome ladies, and they have a great staff. So shout out to their staff as well, their tellers and all that. So, yeah, shout out to Krista and Jessica from the Plainfield H&B branch.
Very awesome.
How about that?
Sweet.
Yeah. There are really no special announcements. Just working on the live show details, getting that. And then I am lining up some on locations for us for the beginning of the year. Hopefully to get them lined up for the beginning of the year. And yeah, so as they come in, as we nail down some details, we'll mention those. So that's about it. How about that? No, yeah. It's a question. How about that?
How about that?
I like
an answer.
Is Sean awake here? What's going on, Nate?
Do I look like
I should be
out?
The one falling asleep?
What is going on?
What?
Are you out of it today or what?
I don't know.
Apologies, creepies. No. So now it's your turn. What are we going to talk about?
Well, this is going to be Nate's pick, right?
It is.
Credit. We are going into potato country, right? Idaho.
Potato.
This is going to be the old Idaho State Penitentiary.
Ooh, man. Creepy place.
Told you I'd bring some Idaho.
Well, we've joked about like certain places we've never been ever.
I don't joke about.
No, you're not joking. Not about potatoes.
You don't joke.
Potatoes, French fries, all that kind of good stuff. This is really, 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 really good. Mm-hmm. Not that you don't bring the good.
No, that's what he's saying. Usually, just it's crap.
Bring crap.
Yeah, I know. I'm mediocre.
No, this is a really good one. I like it. So, have a little foundation on the Idaho.
Oh, you got it?
Century. No, I said, how about?
Oh, I thought you said I've got some.
He is not here.
Let's get it together, guys.
You said
meaning Nate. I mean Nate.
Oh,
you're
man.
Not here.
It's wow, spreading. That's bad. That you've got the best game here, and you've probably had the least amount of sleep.
Meaning Mark. I mean Sean. Mark's like, leave me out of it, you dopes. Sean, how about some foundation?
Yeah, the old Idaho Penitentiary State Historic Site is a functional prison from 1872. To 1973 in the western United States. Why do we need to hear that? For those outside the country, right? East of Boise, Idaho, the first building, also known as the Territorial Prison, was constructed in the Territory of Idaho in 1870 when it was still the Wild Wild West. The territory was 7 years old when the prison was built, a full two decades before statehood. So that's pretty wild.
That is wild. So it was open for 101 years.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
Started out as a one-cell house.
Did it now. Mm-hmm. One cell.
That's what it looked like.
That's a
look like the old West.
Yeah,
it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Yeah, this place is out in the West, right? In Idaho. Has anybody, like, have you been to Idaho or through Idaho?
I've never. I've been through it.
Have you really?
Drove
you have
through
really?
It,
yeah. Yeah, I've been through it.
Oh.
I've been, I don't think I've ever gone anywhere in there, but I've gone
just
through
just driven
it.
Through yeah. it. Yeah, that's what I did.
Many prisoners actually helped in the construction process by mining at the nearby quarry.
Oh, okay. Okay.
A little fun fact.
A little fun fact. Well, I've got one. It said over the next, so when, obviously from when it was built, so over the next 100 years, more than 13,000 convicts, including 215 women, would call the Idaho State Penitentiary, Idaho State Penitentiary home. At least 110 of them died within their self-made walls from old age, illness, and murder.
Mm-hmm.
So, interesting.
It's a lot of people.
13,000. Thousand, yeah.
You're talking about them having to quarry it. It is from sandstone, and they said that the thing about that territory there in Idaho, it is really, really, really cold in the winter, and it's really, really hot in the summer. And they said that was part of the torture that some of these prisoners, or all these prisoners, had to endure. That's not the only tortures, though. I mean, they had they actually were pretty rough because they had the roughest of the rough. As far as inmates, these are some of the most hardened criminals.
You remember when we did the live show with in May with Jerry?
Yeah.
In Tragedy, and we were doing stories from you know, prisons and all that. And I had the one from Wyoming, and that same thing with them. It's like really hot in the summertime, and then it gets really cold in the winter, and it's like whatever the conditions are outside.
That's what you get. Yeah.
That's what you get inside. Yeah. Yep. That's what it, so that made me think of that. Yep. It's that's out west, too, if you didn't
know. That's right. Western United States.
Yeah. Yeah, they talk about the brutal conditions.
One thing I was really disappointed in, that Al Capone never, ever frequented here. This is the first prison
I think we've
ever covered that it was. There's no Al Capone story.
Right.
He didn't care about Idaho.
Or Al Capone-less.
Or Lady in White. I didn't see at least a Lady in White.
There's no Lady in White. You're correct.
I figured someone else can take care of the potatoes.
What are you trying to say, Nate? Only the women in, can take
potatoes.
That this
was Nate Laux.
So the most Idaho has the most incarcerated women per capita in the country, and apparently historically has, which I thought that
really?
Was really in watching some of these videos. I was like,
another fun fact.
It is a fun fact. and they're not exactly sure why that is. Well, they because we'll talk about some of the people that were kept here, and one of the most infamous serial killers was a female, and they say she only was supposed to be sentenced for 10 years though, and she killed like 6 people.
Wow.
Yeah. Former or like husbands. And so she had, but they don't know whether she was actually kept for 10. Just before her 10 years was up, she escaped. I kid you, I'm not even making this up. So I don't know whether it was that she was supposed to be kept for 10 years or like 10 years to life. And she was like,
right.
Forget this, you know, or they say sometimes even people that are just about ready for, you know, to be let go, if they get the opportunity to get out of there, like, I don't care if I got 6 more months. I'm gone. You know,
you know, back then, though,
the door is open.
I mean, the law is always changing and all that, you know, the format of like prisons and all that and sentences. But like back then, they didn't do a whole, I mean, even for murder, they didn't do like 50, 60 years. They did maybe 5, like in the old West, 5 years, and they're out.
If you killed that many people, though, you think.
Yeah, but we're, I know.
That's crazy, though.
I don't, that wouldn't happen in 2023, but 1923 or 1823. Mm-hmm. That is weird, though. You think she'd get a little more than 10 years, even back from that time period. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It said in Idaho's history, only 11 state executions took place. 10 of them were carried out here at the penitentiary. So 10 out of 11 in the same place. That's
good odds.
That is. That's pretty good.
Excellent odds.
That's 90-some percent. Yeah. Pretty good chance you're going to get sentenced to death here. Yeah. Yeah.
Before we get into anything too dark, what? I do want to bring up something else light before into this discussion. Dennis, a kitten found in the prison barn by an inmate in 1952, was kept in the penitentiary for 16 years. Guards allowed him to keep Dennis, even though incarcerated men were not allowed pets. Dennis roamed the yard and made friends. The guards and inmates grew to love him, and in 1968, Dennis died in his sleep. The inmates performed a funeral in his honor, even providing him a headstone. Dennis is the only inmate buried within the prison walls.
Wow. Mm,
isn't that weird?
That's kind of a cool story.
Cool cat.
He's a cool cat.
All right.
What was his name? Dennis?
Dennis.
Dennis the Menace.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Dennis with two N's.
Hmm. Okay. If you say so.
So, yeah, this place is quite a bit of a paranormal activity, which most former prisons do. Visitors claim to have heard voices, been physically touched, and experienced a strange feeling on the property.
Mm. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of brutal, like, murders and, you know, and like, you know, had the death sentences and all that. Yeah, and usually, like I said, we've done these prisons, and there's all kinds of paranormal activity because they're pretty much awful places. Said the penitentiary held up to 600 prisoners at one time. Said they definitely suffered through almost inhuman conditions. The sandstone that formed its walls was a plentiful and inexpensive building material, but it also intensified the temperatures, like you said, inside mm-hmm. the cells. Okay, so you had the heat or the cold. Also said proper plumbing did not reach the prison until the 1920s, an unpleasant condition that also spread disease. That's not good. This was complicated by the prison's ill-working ventilation system. So it said conditions like these pushed inmates to the edge, and guards answered violence with more violence until 1971, when prisoners reached their breaking point. It said in 71, my birth year, by the way, and again in 1973, riots broke out. Prisoners burned the chapel and dining hall to the ground and damaged many other buildings. The 73 riot was the more severe of the two, and shortly thereafter, prisoners were moved to a more modern penitentiary south of Boise. On December 3rd of that year, the penitentiary was closed. Not long after, it was placed on the National Register of Historic Places. And says the buildings, however, were left exactly as they were at the end of 1973 after the riots. From the smoke and the fire-blackened stone walls to the calendar still hanging on the cell walls, walking through the cell block is enough to give anyone a serious case of the creeps.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
They said that there was I listened to stories from one of the guys that was a guard for 16 years, and he was very interesting to listen to, but he was very upfront about how brutal it was and how brutal they were to the inmates. He said, mm-hmm. and I quote, he said, after he left there, he left with a heavy heart. He enjoyed his job so much that he did not want the people that stayed there to forget that place. He wanted them to, cause they were there for horrible, heinous things.
Oh yeah.
He said also that the inmates ran that prison. He said any prison, the inmates run the prison, not the guards. The guards just try to keep order. And he said, other than that, inmates are the ones that run the place. And if they take over, forget it. But they said that the inmates had so much, you know, had enough in those two riots. And then after the second one, it was done. Mm-hmm. You burn down the chapel and then, you know, the dining room. I'm like,
yeah.
We're definitely done here.
Well, and they said they were pushed to the brink, and they're mm-hmm. already ticked off being jailed. But if you're having inhumane conditions and all that, it's kind of a recipe for disaster, as they say.
Yep.
Did you hear about the most notorious inmate, at the Idaho State Penitentiary? Mm-hmm. They call this guy it's Idaho's Jack the Ripper.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I did hear about
Raymond Allen Snowden. So this guy Snowden was convicted of a murder.
About him, yep.
In 1956, and he was sentenced to death by hanging at the Idaho State Penitentiary. He murdered Cora Dean, a local woman and a mother of two, during a scuffle after a night of drinking. Snowden claimed he backhanded Dean. She kicked him, and then he snapped. This is kind of brutal. So using a 2¼-inch pocket knife, Snowden stabbed Cora 35 times. Before his hanging, Snowden confessed to murdering two other women. So in 1957, he was brought to the gallows in the prison's five house. Snowden would never get the chance for his last words. At 12:06 a.m., the trap door was pulled, but the noose failed to break his neck. Raymond struggled at the end of the rope for 15 minutes before finally suffocating. So
they talked about that too. Well, first of all, they said it was really gruesome because he actually also, like, he stabbed her so many times, but he also actually, like, reached in and systematically, like, cut her spinal cord too. Like, it was just awful.
When he didn't have to,
did not have to. And they said, so the guards were basically making, they think, and they said that, cause they said anytime there was a hanging, quote unquote, gone wrong, it didn't go wrong. They just wanted them to suffer.
Yeah.
And they said that the family of the female, they wanted them to enjoy him suffering for 15, 20 minutes,
right.
however long it took him to actually just suffocate, which sounds awful. I mean, all of it sounds awful, but yeah, so they said those kind of things did happen.
It'd be hard because it wouldn't bring your daughter back or your friend back or your mom back or whatever, but then again.
Well, and I'm sure the family, they weren't like wink, wink, and nod, but you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure they didn't know, but I'm sure it would just be awful.
Yeah. And you touched on it. Briefly, the Five House is believed to be the most haunted building on the property.
Ah, that makes sense.
So,
the Five House. I like those names for their different cell blocks and all that, you know? Like.
That most infamous female serial killer is Lyda Southard. She was also known as Lyda Anna May Trueblood. She's an American female suspected serial killer, suspected that she had killed four of her husbands, and they weren't sure even whether she was married to them all at once, or they knew about each other, or that she was just, you know, going through and killing them off and taking their money and whatever. A brother-in-law and her daughter by using arsenic poisoning derived from flypaper. So she, like, boiled down the flypaper, got the arsenic, and poisoned her her daughter. And
nice.
I don't remember how old her daughter was, but not very. In order to obtain life insurance money, so she was
That's sick.
It's really sick.
That is sick.
But yeah, she's the one that, like I said, for got sentenced to 10 years, and then you know she broke out. See you later. I think it was close. It was close to the end of that 10 years.
Like, yeah, I just let her go.
Mm-hmm.
No, I give her another 100 years for that. That's sad. Yeah, that's sad. It's greed. Yeah. Go ahead.
It's a really cool prison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love this topic. You figure obviously every state has a penitentiary, but Idaho. This is a brutal one. I mean, not that they're typically not, but this one's a extra. I think to me,
this is it.
In my opinion,
this gives a little bit more detail what we're talking about with her. Following a 6-week trial, Southard was convicted of second-degree murder and sentenced to 10 years in life at the old Idaho State Penitentiary. She escaped from prison on May 4th, 1931, and took up residence in Denver, Colorado, as a housekeeper for Harry Whitlock, whom she married in March 1932, but who ultimately assisted her in her arrest in Topeka, Kansas, on July 31st, 1932. She then returned to the penitentiary in August of 32. She was released on probation in 41 and received a final pardon. How in the world did she ever do that?
No kidding. My gosh.
And she died in 58.
Okay.
Of a heart attack.
Of course. Like, of course. She fell off a building.
Yeah.
I mentioned to Nate that Five House says where Snowden was executed. He has been haunting it since 1957. Says that about a year after the prison was placed on the National Register of Historic Places, it was opened up to tours. Guides and visitors attest to the sinister feelings, strange sounds, voices, and dark entities they feel are still lurking in the cell blocks of the old Idaho State Penitentiary. And it says, all of the eerie activity intensifies near the frightening solitary confinement cell dubbed Siberia by the inmates and the gallows. So there's another name for that area, the Siberia. That area, those prisons that have the solitary confinement. I always thought, not that I plan on going to prison, but I'm like, you know, I wouldn't want to be around all those other inmates. But then they say it's so bad, like it's so, it's not good for a human mind, not just the body. But I'm like, oh, maybe I wouldn't want to be in this.
Well, they're in Lebanon. They shut us in just to see what it'd be like. And I mean, not
it's
very
so
long.
Small, yeah, no
like,
light.
Oh,
no,
I'm good.
Yeah.
Let me out.
Right. Right. So it makes sense that, in those type of environments, the solitary, that you get a lot of activity. You know.
Prison in your own mind, right?
Oh, yeah, exactly. That's true.
Says at least one man died in those cells locked up.
In the five?
Siberia.
Oh, yeah. Siberia, yeah. I'm sorry, I forgot. Wow. Yeah, it'd be pretty brutal, you know.
They said there was one inmate that was there so long that he became so institutionalized that when he was up for parole, he declined it. Said, nope, I like it here. And then so he lived out his years there, and they said that his ghost still haunts the grounds, and he's a very friendly spirit. But he's kind of like the mascot there for the prison. But probably one of the few like pleasant things. But There was a another known killer there, Albert Edward Horsley. His pseudonym was Harry Orchard. Did you guys hear anything about him?
I did not.
He was a miner convicted in 1905 of political assassination of former Idaho Governor Frank Stunenberg. The case was one of the most sensational and widely reported of the first decade of the 20th century, involving three prominent leaders of the Radical Western Federation of Miners as co-defendants of an alleged conspiracy to commit murder. So he was definitely kept there.
Hmm. I gotcha.
He was born in Canada.
Oh, Canada.
Canada.
They do midnight paranormal investigations, and they said they
in
are
Canada?
Not... In Canada.
In Canada.
Oh, they are not for the faint of heart. So it says, as this one group stands in the dark in front of the long-abandoned prison cells at the old Idaho penitentiary, a metal door slams as someone leaves the building. It says, by the way, the door slams, said group leader Tina Hughes, as others giggled in the darkness. It wasn't a ghost, but it was enough to make a few people jump, which makes sense. It says, then Hughes is a volunteer with Big River Paranormal, which occasionally leads paranormal investigations with members of the public through the so-called old pen. So it says, there's a good reason people suspect the location is haunted. At least 130 people died there from when the prison opened and then when it closed, or in 1872 and closed in 1973. Says, though, historians are still looking for evidence of more deaths. So I'm thinking a place like this, I mean, one death is bad enough, but really 130 doesn't sound like that many. You know what I mean? For 101 years worth of it being open and all the stuff that went on and riots, you'd think there's got to be more. So I think that's interesting that historians are like, let's look into this a little bit more, you know, for more accounts of deaths and however they happen, you know. So that Tina Hughes that works for the investigative team that does the tours, she said that she is from a small town in Nevada, and she's quoted saying, we had coyotes, and I was always told, be careful with coyotes. Now Hughes leads the team through the old pen at night, pointing to burn marks on walls and ceilings and trying to communicate with those who might have never left. She said that nighttime is the best for that. She says things are quieter, so you can hear a lot more of what's going on in the building, what may be going on around you. She says, I mean, you can hear footsteps when you normally wouldn't, because during the day there's a lot of people walking around, which makes sense. She said she has had her own experiences there. She was in a building on the property where a riot had broken out in 1973. Hastening the prison's closure. While standing in a cell among the charred walls and ceiling, a man with her commented that it had gotten very warm. And right about that time, she said, my butt got touched. And I'm like, whoa, okay. She said it was more validating than frightening, though. It confirmed for her that someone is there in the darkness. So we got a butt grabber.
Oh, man. That's always a good sign, yeah, right? That's better than a lady in white or
yeah,
Indian burial grounds or...
Mm-hmm.
Or Al Capone. That's not as good as Al Capone, though.
No. You want Al Capone grabbing your butt? I don't know.
I don't think so. He's playing the banjo.
I have some of the suicides that happened.
Oh, yeah.
Which caused spirits to linger.
Please tell.
An inmate on death row, his name was Douglas Van Vlack, jumped to his death, not wanting to experience an execution for killing three people. Another inmate in cell house block 4 killed himself in his cell, not able to stand it anymore. Three inmates killed themselves in cell block 2. Mm. So, yeah. That's some of the ghosts that you could encounter while you're going through those various cell houses.
Yeah. Yeah, sounds like it's not just... In that block 5 or whatever the
block five
house
the most
whatever.
Active, but
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and especially for that Jack the Ripper.
Oh yeah,
the Idaho
That's
Jack
really
the
cool.
Ripper. Yeah,
yeah. He I read something earlier before he was hanged for his crime. He confessed to I think three other killings.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because Jack the Ripper. I mean, he killed what was this?
Four, I think.
Well, they call the...
I think it's five, right?
Canonical, or what's that word?
Canonical.
Canonical. five, but yeah, I think there was six to eight. Yeah. Okay, so this other person, his name's J.C. Brain. He's a visitor services coordinator at the Old Penn. Says Brain has had his own experiences near the gallows there, including rushes of air and hearing voices when no one was around. Says looking at the history of the place, he said even a few people incarcerated there reported hauntings. That's cool, because when you have prisoners actually at the time it's open, they're reporting hauntings. I think that's awesome. Says though it's hard to tell whether they were haunted by ghosts or guilt. That's true. Says people who were incarcerated reported that they were haunted by either a victim or a partner or someone who they encountered, he said. Brain explained that of the 130 deaths documented there so far, they include 10 executions and then everything else ranging from murder and suicide to disease and natural causes. Back with Hughes and her group, with Tina Hughes, we heard a potential moaning sound near an area that used to be death row where the last man was hanged in 1957. Says Hughes said, was that somebody? Did anybody hear that moan? Luckily, after we heard it a few more times, it seemed to be just the sound of traffic, much to this reporter's relief. So, but they also said during daytime, because they do daytime tours and they'll do investigations, they still, nighttime is the most active, but that said that daytime, I'm paraphrasing, daytime does not, is not immune from creepiness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you get it anytime, really.
There was a story about somebody who escaped. And it was in the, I think in the kitchen or, you know, he was next to somebody that they had, because they normally put like ball and chains on them, just like the stereotypical to keep them, you know, when they were working the yard. And somehow one of these guys was like, hey, I need unchained. I got to go, whatever. And so he was able to escape. He found, you know, he was in, I forget exactly how the story unfolded, but he, another guy was like, saw how easy he escaped. And he was like, here, you know, and he helped. So they both decided to escape. The guy that originally was escaped and had planned it, you know, just kind of, you know, as it, you know, I don't know that he had, that was this mastermind, but it's just like, hey, I can escape. Let's go. So they both left. The guy, the original guy, that was his plan, got captured and brought back. And the other guy that just kind of went on a whim with him ended up getting shot and killed.
Oh, gosh.
So I'm like, yeah, like, oh, my
good
God.
Good job.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Like, oh, yeah.
Good job.
But that one, the one prison guard that was talking, he had said, yeah, some of the guys got out. We got them all back, though. Mm. You know, like, they didn't get far.
Right,
either we brought
right.
them back or we shot them.
Oh,
you know, they did. They did not. They said there was an intimidation there where the guards were positioned in certain places, and if they had the opportunity, they would shoot you and kill you. I mean, they wouldn't even hesitate.
The Rose Garden has some activity in it.
Oh.
I believe from earlier readings, six of the hangings, I think, happened in the Rose Garden. Many spirits still find the Rose Garden a place of peace and respite. Some have found or fond memories of taking care of the plants or enjoy the beautiful flowers that still bloom there. A male spirit dressed in prison-issued gardening clothes has been seen by visitors taking care of the plants.
The heck does that look like?
He resembles a living person. Being the place where the portable gallows was set up during the early years, apparitions are seen here, spirits attached to their place of death. Like many, they like to harass paranormal investigators around 3 o'clock in the morning when they apparently have control of this area.
Mm.
Moving cold spots are felt when it is hot outside and there is no wind.
Ooh. Hmm. Yeah, I'm telling you what, the more we talk about this place, brutal. I'm telling you, I don't think there's a prison that's not, but
no,
but I'm saying that this one, and maybe I said about the other ones, but this one's pretty rough.
There was a
rough history,
a story about they were lined up out in the courtyard going into the mess hall and the dining hall or whatever they called it, and they said you could talk to the guy in front of you and behind you and keep conversation, but as soon as you went up these steps that went up into the mess hall, you had to be stone silent. And they said that it was agreed upon that if you were served something, you ate it. So if you didn't want enough, they said you had to basically let the cook know, hey, I don't want a big serving, or I'm not, you know. But if you were, it's kind of like kids, you know, like, it's on your plate, you're going to eat it if you don't finish your plate. The same thing there. And if they didn't, it was considered disrespectful, and that they were punished. They had even punishments where you know, they would make them dig a hole for however many hours and just work manual labor, and then with that hole they would fill it back in with concrete and have, hey, good job there, Johnny, you know, you know, and then make them watch, and then they'd throw a fit and like, what are you doing, you know, like, yep, guess what, you know, you'll probably be punished even more, but they're, you know, part of that punishment is watching your hole that you just worked hours and hours on be filled back in. So just that psychological punishment besides the physical torture.
Well,
you know,
well, we were talking about you know, they said like it did have women too, not just men. It also had kids, so let me read this to you. This is, you know, be prepared, creepies. This is kind of a disturbing story here. So it says, this prison did not discriminate. It held men, and then, of course, it said women and children. It says the youngest prisoner held was an 11-year-old boy. His name was James Jimmy Whitaker, who was convicted for stabbing his mother in 1912. Said the women were not separated from the men, which is just a fantastic idea. Says they became pregnant and were raped by prisoners and guards, and eventually a separate women's ward was built, not until 1920. I'm like, that is such, even for back then, I know we learn a lot from history, but like even back then, 1920, you would think you would kind of second guess, maybe we should separate the men.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like what's going on here? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So can you imagine guards and prisoners, the poor women, and then having kids born in the prison because of these jerk faces? Yeah. But yeah, came at 11-year-old boy was in prison. Wow.
Yeah, Jimmy. I have Cell House Block 5.
Uh-oh, let's go to it.
More detailed events.
Nice.
It is the maximum security in death row. The spirit of inmate, which we've mentioned before, Douglas Van Vleck, whose suicide makes his presence known by causing batteries to go dead. He has been seen as a greenish light. The spirit of Raymond Snowden, who was strangled to death in a botched hanging, still lingers near the death chamber, reliving his painful end.
Oh, wow.
People hear an unseen presence gasping for air.
Good.
I don't know. D-O-C-E-N-T.
Whoa.
Was that me? No, that was me.
Oh. Wow.
Creepy.
You got a really good
straight
gurgle
there. Out of the gutter right
Holy
there.
Holy moly.
You wonder what was wrong with me. That was it. I'm good now.
Wow. Okay.
That sounded like a toilet flush or something.
I'm trying to figure out a word, and you're over here gurgling.
You're already dying on
I'm
it.
The gorgon over here.
I hear shoo.
What would that be? Docent?
What?
Dockent?
Dockent. Dockent? Yeah,
dockent. When a dockent was standing on the trap door in the execution chamber, she heard the door to the stairway slam with a big bang, and all the lights went out on the second floor.
Nice.
Other full-body apparitions have been seen here, reliving their incarcerations. The sound of cell doors closing is heard. This could be a residual loop, and the maximum security building has the heaviest negative energy felt by many.
I know I haven't said it yet, but Sean, put this on the list.
Oh, heck yeah. You know I am.
That'd be great. I'd love to visit. Yeah, I've never been to Idaho. This will give me a reason to go to Idaho. No offense to Idaho. Idahoans. Wait a minute. What are they called? Idahoans?
Utahoans.
Idahoans. Idahoans. The Idahoans.
Depends on what side of the state you're on. Or are they Idahoans? Utahoans.
Or are they the? Or just potatoes?
Potato head.
Like what's their?
Spud
Hoosiers. You know, you got. You know.
They're proud of their potatoes, man.
Well, I'm just saying. What's their state nickname?
What
are they? Are they Idahoans? I hope so. Because it sounds
sure.
Like Idahoans.
What are?
How?
Somebody from Idaho, tell us. I don't know.
We'll have to look that up.
We are going to have to look that up.
Yeah.
The reviews are very good. Honestly, they get, you know, 5 spuds. Sorry.
hold that. Don't tell reviews yet.
Okay.
Don't lose your spot.
Well, I'm looking up what Idaho is called then.
Yeah, please do. this place is very popular with, you know, well-known investigative teams and all that. It has been featured on Destination Fear, the Haunted, or I'm sorry, Haunted Towns and Destination Fear, the Lowe's Files and Ghost Adventures. So yeah, the big boys have been out there. Cody and let's see, what is their name? Yeah, Cody Dare and Sean Warren from New Reality 11. They've investigated, and they have said they find paranormal activity. Says, as we enter the multi-tiered paint-peeling walls of the wing, which housed the youngest of the penitentiary's convicts, a feeling of dread overcame Lorraine. Said, there was a lot of sadness here, she said. I can sense it. Says, research indicates that the building held the youngest male ever sentenced for murder. So I just talked about the 11-year-old. This was a 10-year-old named James Oscar Baker. He had been convicted of manslaughter for shooting and killing a man threatening his father. Luckily for the youth, the governor pardoned him in less than a year. Says, walking through the tiny cells with metal cots, walls, ceilings, and thick barred sliding gates even gave me a feeling of foreboding. Says, after 10 minutes, both Lorraine and Kelly advised me they were leaving. Said, I did not try to stop them. It was creepy even for me. Again, I have always been skeptical about Casper and the like floating through the air. But as we were leaving the cell block, I thought I heard footsteps at the end of the long corridor. He says, I stopped, heard it again, and then I realized we were the only ones there. It might have been the wind whistling through the high barrier exterior windows. Maybe if there had been any wind during our visit. So speaking, wow, like you were saying, sounds like there's a lot of wind going through there. But, yeah, I don't know. I like that, though. It's kind of creepy. But 10-year-old. A 10-year-old.
That's crazy. Yeah.
I know.
Wow. I think if we ever do go here, block two.
Uh-oh.
Sounds interesting.
Okay, all right.
The spirit of a large, burly man named Big Louie.
Big Louie, huh?
Now that's not made up.
looks like body type like on steroids.
Oh, no.
Is not afraid of anyone, living or dead. Known to shove staff visitors in the back for fun. Especially likes to bother mediums.
Turd.
Three spirits who killed themselves here still are serving time. Doing the deed may have given them peace at first, but they find themselves still stuck here. There's residual energy from the prison riots.
Mm. Can you imagine? You know
how the hatred and the anger and all that spilled out during that?
You know how we talked about obviously all these places, a lot of them have the residual, but like they just keep acting out. But like Gettysburg, how people see a battle. Can you imagine if like you're watching a riot take place again? Like it happened?
That would scare.
Wouldn't that be
scary?
That'd be a little
to death, right?
Yeah, no kidding, man. As long as it sticks to just being residual.
So I've got a list, and I'm not going to go through
let's,
50,
let's,
but I got all the 50 states.
Names. Sorry.
I don't know if
we don't want the 50, just so I
don't. You don't want 50? Well, Hoosiers are Indiana.
We got that, yeah.
Although there's some on here I had no idea, but so it is going to be anticlimactic, and exactly what we thought it was is Idahoan.
Idahoan, told you.
Or Spud.
Spud.
Wait a minute. The Spudahoans.
Spud-a-hoan.
What up, Spud?
Massachusetts.
Well, Spud Webb, you know.
Massachusetts is
Spud Wrench.
Bay Stater. Did you know that? I didn't know that. Bay Stater is Massachusetts.
Michigander. Wait a minute.
Michiganian.
I've heard of Michigander. No, wait. What's Massachusetts again?
Bay Stater is what it
says. Bay Stater.
That's what it says. Mississippian, Missourian, Montanian, Nebraskan. Those are all New Yorkers, right? Ohioan, Buckeyes, we know that.
Okay, we don't need
more. Nope,
cut him off. So Idahoans, I told you.
Most of them are pretty, I've never heard of Mainer. For Maine, who knows? But anyway.
Mainer's from Arkansas.
That's right. That's right. How'd you know that?
Do you guys have any paranormal stories left? And then we'll get to your reviews, Sean. I don't have any more to talk about as far as paranormal activity. Nate, do you have any?
I have a little bit from people's experience.
Oh, yeah.
It's not necessarily a review, but...
No, I'm saying I'll let him do the review. So, what do you got there?
Local Ghost Hunters, Big River Paranormal Group. They went in there one time. During the investigation, the lights would turn off and it would be dark, and researchers will guide guests Oh, they're just talking about what they're doing. I thought the lights were flickering on and off when I was reading that.
They're just turning off and on. By yeah. So.
It's just the tour guide over there at the wall.
Look, guys.
Yeah.
Turn on and off. It's like the guy on Airplane when the runway lights go out. And, he just unplugs it out of the wall and he goes, yeah, that's funny. Okay.
Well. No, yeah, they said like gotcha. You can hook up with the research group and do a paranormal investigation.
Yeah.
And obviously they turn the lights off and, yeah, it's dark.
Well.
And they try to communicate with the spirits. So, yeah. No, I don't have an account.
I've got some of the reviews, though, from earlier here. They got, I was joking about them having five spuds, right? This one says, Old Idaho Pin, this was a very interesting historical tour. You are able to have a guide or just follow the path with posted information. The most memorable was seeing the gallows, the witness room, and the quote-unquote drop room, which sounds awesome. Hmm. And also, there are multiple pictures of inmates and their backstories. The youngest inmate, which you had said earlier, Todd, was only 11 years old, and this is definitely worth seeing.
Well, then we had that, but then we had that 10-year-old, so I don't
mm-hmm.
know.
Yeah, so I don't know.
So, whatever, 10, 11.
10, 11.
10 and a half.
Still so young, I can't even imagine. It said there was another one. It was 4 out of 5 spuds. We enjoyed our tour with our tour guide. The grounds were very well kept, and all plants were well manicured. There's a lot of reading throughout, so that's the history and all the information you can follow. Mm-hmm. And it would have been nice to have more interactive displays, it says. Well, that's not much of a complaint. It says, I think for younger children, it'd be boring. So that's why they got, apparently that's why they gave 4, not 5.
Hmm. Well, I mean.
Unacceptable.
Yeah, I'm not taking my 5-year-old or 6-year-old. I mean, I think.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
My 15-year-old and or soon to be 13, I think they would probably find it interesting or at least creepy. Then there's adults that wouldn't care.
I think about it, right?
Care about seeing it. Yeah. So it probably, so it sounds like at least it's like a.
Yeah, a lot of them are 5 stars, though.
4 and 5, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it could be 2 and 3. I wouldn't care. You know, everybody gripes about everything. So, you know, they're going to gripe about restaurants. They're going to gripe about a supposedly haunted prison. Everybody has different.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying the 5 stars say it was their favorite trip or favorite spot in Idaho, and in Boise. So it's I've never, Nate and I were talking about, we have never really just been through Idaho, so, but
yeah,
I think it'd be fun to visit Boise and see some of these spots.
Yeah, I don't know if we have any listeners in Idaho.
I don't know. Are we? Yeah.
Maybe when we drop this next week, maybe.
They'll all come running, huh?
Well, because when we hashtag, hashtag Idaho and all that every time I do
Who's talking about us, right?
Well, like.
Then they're going to hear about the potato talk, and then they're going to.
Because you post off of what, because I screenshot the one you do on Facebook, and that's what I add to Instagram and TikTok. Do you do the same one to or X, whatever, Twitter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Twitter.
Okay.
I do.
Yeah, so I always think when we hashtag, especially like a state that we haven't mentioned a lot or at all, so obviously I think, pretty sure this is the first Idaho story, I always think maybe we'll gain some listeners.
Almost guaranteed that this is the first Idaho.
Yeah.
But it's not the last.
I hope.
Nate had, what'd you have? You had like 10 different locations in Idaho, didn't you?
Yeah. He brought the Idaho game.
Todd's like, strong. Can we have some other stuff? And I was like, yeah. And we're not going to do 10 of them in a row from Idaho.
But I wanted to stay on.
But why not?
but I need the other one. So don't we? That's
middle-aged in Idaho now.
I mean, I already made me a t-shirt. Said I went to Idaho and all I got was this lousy t-shirt. Very good topic choice, Nate. Good job.
Yeah, you start looking into this, you can find a lot of interior pictures and stuff. And it's a creepy place.
Yes, it is. And I'll show some cells, and it's definitely got like Indiana State Sanatorium. The peeling walls, always like always creeps me out. It's just
they have
the flaking.
A box full of. Found confiscated shivs.
Oh, that's good.
Like at the jail.
Oh, yeah. One dude, they said, got
Lebanon,
killed.
Yeah,
at Lebanon.
Now, here I said, but one guy got, he got jumped in the shower and shivved to death. It's like, it just sounds awful. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, there's a little bit more to that. Yeah.
Harold, did you see what I'm?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna. Yeah.
Yeah, I skipped that one on purpose.
Brutal though. But can you, almost like the shivs that they have at the
Lebanon. We were just
yeah, that's cool. Mm-hmm. They had a couple of them.
Mm-hmm. In their little museum
they,
room.
They
there.
Found in the wall. Yeah, right in the museum. So, very good topic. Let's move on to Sean's middle-aged moment or dark side. I say
ooh,
dark side.
It's dark side. All right. Good job tonight. I was bringing your game, right?
Well, that darn right I am.
That's all right. Yeah. This is Linkin Park, and it is Burn It Down. Do you guys know this song?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you
do. I know a lot of their songs, but not by the names of them.
You'd know this if you heard
it. So if I hear the lyrics or hear the... Yeah.
It's fantastic, and it also, honestly, with the riots at this prison, I thought, oh, this is, like, perfect. I've actually heard this. They've been playing it a lot on the radio, and, I mean, I think it's from, like, what, the early 20-teens, maybe? Like, 2012 or something. Like 20, I don't know. It's been a while. But they play it like it's new, and it's really not. But the cycle repeated as explosions broke in the sky. All that I needed was the one thing I couldn't find. And you were there at the turn waiting to let me know. We're building it up to break it back down. We're building it up to burn it down. We can't wait to burn it to the ground. The colors conflicted as the flames climbed into the clouds. I wanted to fix this, but couldn't stop from tearing it down. And you were there as at the turn, caught in the burning glow. And I was there at the turn waiting to let you know. We're burning it up. I'm sorry. Geez. We're building it up to break it. I'm jumping ahead to break it back down. We're building it up to burn it down. We can't wait to burn it to the ground. You told me yes. You held me high. And I believed when you told that lie. I played soldier. You played king and struck me down when I kissed that ring. You lost that right to hold that crown. I built you up. But you let me down. So when you fall, I'll take my turn and fan the flame as your blazes burn. And you were there at the turn waiting to let me know. We're building it up to break it back down, building it up to burn it down. We can't wait to burn it to the ground. And then at the end, it's awesome. It says, when you fall, I'll take my turn and fan the flames as your blazes burn. You can't wait to burn it to the ground. When you fall, I'll take my turn. Fan the flames as your blazes burn and can't wait to burn it to the ground. It's so cool though. Like I said, if you're not conceptualizing it in your head right now, listen to it and you're like, oh man, it's just so well put together.
Mm-hmm.
It's dark. But I thought it was a perfect fit for this discussion.
Most of their songs are.
And
you know about,
and the common era right now, like, and like you, all you gotta do is turn on the news. This is pretty much
what do you mean?
This is our thing. This is,
yeah. That's good. I like that one.
The national anthem has been replaced by this. Burn it down.
Probably. So anyway, thank you for that.
On that happy note.
Yeah, let's go. No, good job. Good pick. Yeah, I do know that song.
It's excellent.
Yeah, it is. So
shout out to Linkin Park, right?
Shout out to Linkin and yeah.
And
I saw
and his park.
Saw an article about him the other day, and I was like, oh man, dude. You just couldn't get out of it.
Yeah, now I know.
Chester, yeah. Second announcements, please, sir.
I just happen to have them over here.
Good.
You can follow us on our social media accounts. That's Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok. Not Twitter, X, right?
I haven't changed TikTok. That. I keep
no, that's right. Twitter.
Want to, and I forget.
TikTok, you can email us at makopodcast@gmail.com. We are on all podcast listening apps. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Give us a 5-star rating and leave a review if the app allows. Tell someone you know or don't know about the podcast. We sell all kinds of awesome merch, so go get you some. We offer many types of show sponsorship opportunities for individuals and businesses. It's another way for you to support us. Get your name mentioned and or your business promoted. The sponsorship money goes right back into the show for merch giveaways, future on locations, live shows, etc. Please email us, reach out to one of us, or message us on Instagram for more information.
Thank you, Sean.
I did something right.
Good job.
Yeah.
About time you did. No.
I know, yeah, right?
I'm going to turn to my man, Nate. Nate, what do you got?
Let's get the spud out of here. That's a wrap.
Whoa, hey. Let's get the spud
let's
out
get
of here.
The rock out of here.
Settle down over there, Nate. There's no reason to yell at us like that.
Hot potato here.
Using some coarse language.
Slow down.
Didn't call a lot of things. Oh, thank you, Nate, and thank you, Creepies, for listening to episode 140 and our discussion on the creepy old Idaho State Penitentiary. And until next time, Nate is your tech engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out.
Keep it creepy.
But why?